Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies. My name is Peter Edmiston, and it is a Monday that is probably, even though I would say we all kind of knew how this thing was going to go, it's a Monday that's probably pretty bleak when you actually look at what happened over the weekend and take a look at where the Grizzlies are right now. It's a little bit rough. We'll get into it a little bit over the next few minutes or so here on the podcast. I've been doing this now for 2 years almost, and this is the first time when you really kind of look and just say, wow, the reality of this thing is starting to set in, and you start to realize that this is going to be a very, very rough 2 months to close out the season. It's necessary. It's important. It has to be done. There are things that you can take from it, and we will, and we'll talk about a lot of those things, but I kind of just want to get the elephant in the room out of the way. It was pretty grim viewing to take a look at those games against the Cavs, the Heat, presumably the Celtics tonight is going to be similar. It's rough. No other way around it. It's a lot of development, a lot of players that have a lot of questions that you're going to have to answer, and not all those answers are going to be on the positive side. So we'll discuss that, where things stand, the injury to Tyreek Evans, situation with Marc Gasol, Chandler Parsons getting stuck in an elevator with Mark and Nick Van Exel, and a little bit about tonight's game as well. All that is still to come here on Locked On Grizzlies. Thank you so much for listening in and for joining me. Over the weekend, first news is Tyreek Evans and his rib injury suffered early in the second half of the game against Cleveland, a game that the Grizzlies competed pretty hard for about 30 minutes or so, and then basically dropped the rope and got run over by the Cavs late in that ball game, a triple-double from LeBron James. But notable, of course, was Tyreek and the fact that he leaves with a rib injury, and it was a legit situation. Anytime you see an injury like this in a tanking year, you always wonder, is that real? That was real. It was real. There was definitely a rib situation that happened. Now you get into the murky area of when could he return? When will he return? All of that. There will certainly be no rush to bring Tyreek back. And this well could be, to the extent that any injury is a good thing, I don't know that Tyreek experiencing rib pain and all that would tell you that it's a good thing. But from a Grizzly standpoint, if you have a legit reason to hold Tyreek out, that can allow you to experience some of the benefit of keeping him and trying to re-sign him without the subsequent cost of actually playing him and losing the potential for tanking in the meantime. So this might be kind of a best case scenario if this is a minor injury that can keep him out for a little bit longer down the stretch. That might not be the worst idea in the world. Tyreek going out in that game was probably the most notable portion of the game. There were some performances that you kind of look at, and you could see now that the development of young players, J.B. Bickerstaff is kind of picking and choosing the games to really emphasize certain players. Some guys are going to get more run in certain games than others. You have so, particularly from the young bigs, there's just only so many minutes that these guys can play. So you're not going to be able to play everybody all the minutes. Like, for example, a guy like, Ivan Rabb, who is, very much in a developmental mode, you can't play him 30 minutes a game every game. You're going to have to find the right spots to use him. And that's, pretty much, what happened. You saw this weekend. Rabb plays, 24 minutes in that game against Miami, but against the Cavs, he only played 4.5 minutes, just kind of spot duty. Deontay Davis starts for Marc Gasol in Miami and plays only 17.5 minutes in the game against Cleveland. Deontay was much better as a starter and only played 24 minutes because, there were fouls and other things that restricted his time, but he was much better as a starter in those moments. You're seeing like Jarrell Martin's role kind of changes. He was playing more of a small forward type role in the game against Miami, and was more of the four in that game against Cleveland. It's just, you're going to see things like that in pretty experimental lineups, experimental groups, trying to figure out ways to get guys minutes and to see what they can do in different situations with different combinations. One thing the Grizzlies are going to want to get on film is combinations, playing Deontay with Jermichael, playing Deontay with Mark, playing Deontay with Jarrell Martin, all these, Rab, what does Rab look like with these guys? You're trying to get as many combinations of guys, twos, threes, fours, and fives, that you can get a little bit of data on and see where things stack up, who pops a little bit, who doesn't, who looks good, who looks not so good. Those are some of the areas that you're going to want to see. From the Grizzlies' perspective, these are games you knew what was going to happen. You knew they were going to lose. You knew it was going to be ugly. Maybe you didn't know it was going to be this ugly. 112-89 on Friday, 115-89 on Saturday. But you kind of had a feeling. You knew how this thing was going to go. And that's been the nature of the Grizzlies for the last month or so. It's just kind of minimizing, trying to lose with dignity. They've lost 9 straight. I mean, their road record is, pretty ugly. 5 wins on the road, second worst in the league. They, as John Hollinger pointed out, have not won a road game since Mike Conley got hurt. They are really, really bad in those situations. And in fact, if you look over the last month, so if in the month of February, I went back and just kind of took a look at some of the numbers. The Grizzlies right now have an offensive rating in the month of February of 92 points per 100 possessions, which is comfortably the worst in the league by far. You're talking 4 points worse than the second worst team and miles off of the best teams. And you could see they scored 89 points in back-to-back games over the weekend. Just they have these stretches where they hit the wall. Like, they look okay offensively for a while. You can see how the team kind of, there's some good things. You see Andrew Harrison make a few shots. You see some drives to the basket. Jarrell Martin flashes here and there. Jermichael Green looks really good for a little bit. And then they just fall off and just hit the wall and can't get a shot and take some terrible looks and look brutal for five minute stretch or more. And the other team just punishes them, and that's that on that. They're weird because when they're on, in those stretches of decent offense, they actually look okay. They looked in that first half of the Cleveland game, they look okay. In the first half of the Miami game, scored 52 points. His first quarter was like they were shooting like 68% or something crazy. But when they hit the lull, man, it is like boom. They smack that brick wall and they fall flat on their face, and they look like they have not shot and played NBA basketball. I mean, Kobe Simmons had one of the ugliest shots in the history of mankind in that game against Miami. Another example of a guy that you get to play, and you know that when you play him, it's probably going to lead to you losing, but you need to see what you've got in Kobe Simmons, who the more you play him, the more you start to see small, needs some real help defensively. There's a lot that needs to be looked at with him. But it's weird that the second halves of games from, for the Grizzlies, certainly of late, it feels like in second halves they've just kind of fallen off. They shoot 42% in second halves as opposed to 46%, and that's over the course of the season. They've really struggled, even just going all the way back to the very beginning. They've seemed to really struggle in second halves of games, whether that's fatigue or whatever. But of late, it has been especially notable. They're shooting, in the month of February, they're shooting 39% in fourth quarters, 43% in third quarters, so 41% overall in second halves. Now, they're not just killing it in first halves. They're shooting 43%. But the offensive ratings that you're seeing early on in games, not great. Late in games, even worse. The only respite that we've seen from them is third quarters, where in the month of February they have come out and have put up a not great, but okay third quarter. And every other quarter, right, first, second are bad, and the fourth is the worst. So it's been bad. Defensively, they tend to be a little bit better in the second halves of games. And offensively, they tend to sort of get in these shootouts with teams. As you've seen them score, you know, like that game, the Miami game, you know, you score 51, you give up 60, you can't, they tend to get a little bit like that. And then when the game tightens up, you know, they don't respond especially well to it. That's to be understandable with young players. One of the things I thought was notable about the game, I mean, to the extent that anything's notable about those games over the weekend, what you should look for, and I will just give you kind of a guide to things that you're going to want to watch. I think, to me, the bigs are much more interesting than the guards. I don't think that there's much to really discover from the guards, to be honest with you. I think you roughly know what you've got with Andrew Harrison. You know, he's an improved player. He's showing you that, I think, as a third, certainly as a third point guard, he's probably overqualified now. As a backup point guard, I think you'd feel okay with him. Not, you could probably do better, but he's okay. He's certainly a guy you can have on your roster. And I think, you know, his size, he's got some decent defensive ability. He's improved his shooting. There are things that you like about what he can give you as a defender, and, you know, his offense has improved, and his ability to kind of lead the offense has been better. So that's good. I think that's pretty well established. Dylan Brooks, you know, didn't hit a ton of shots, but I think he just looks good. He has a nice versatility. He's a two-way player. There's a lot to like about what he can do. I don't think his spot is in question for next year. I think you kind of know he's going to be off the bench in an ideal situation, and, you know, he can give you a lot of productivity. There's a lot to like about his game. I don't think there's much to discover, really. You can hone in on some things, but I think the big improvement for him is going to have to come in the offseason, where he's going to continue to get that shot a little bit better, keep working on that handle. But there's been some improvement there, too, and continue to grow overall as a player. I'm much more intrigued by what happens by the bigs. And Jermichael Green has shown improvement. I want to see him towards the end of the year shake off the ankle thing, shake off the rust, shake off whatever problem he was having earlier in the season, and start to perform up to the level that he should, having signed a decent-sized contract in the offseason. You'd like to see that level go up, because he really has struggled so much this year. You're seeing some signs of that. He was better, been probably the best player on the floor for the Grizzlies the last two or three games. Certainly over the weekend, I think he was the best player for the Grizzlies. The other young bigs, the really young bigs, because Jermichael's not really a young big. The young bigs, I talked to JB Bickerstaff on Friday a good bit about kind of the system and about what the bigs are asked to do and what he wants to see from them. And one of the things that he said to kind of keep an eye on, and I tweeted about this late Sunday night, one of the things that he wants his bigs to do is communicate. It's very important in almost any defensive system, and it's been a big, you know, benchmark for Marc Gasol and for what the Grizzlies want to do. Bigs have to communicate. They have to talk. They have to constantly be positioning people. So not only do you have to get yourself in position, but then you have to be kind of the backstop. And you, as a big, typically have a better view of what's going on. The guards can only see in front of them, generally. They don't have a full view of the floor the way that the center in particular does for a lot of these offenses. So your job is to talk and to communicate, to make sure, either verbally or through hand gestures or whatever, make sure everyone knows where they need to be, how they need to operate, who's got what, and finding that stuff out and doing it in real time. That was the thing that JB said was, you know, anybody can go back in with a rewind button and watch film and figure out, oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. But actually doing it, identifying what the play is going to be, identifying the action, identifying movement, identifying where guys are going to want to go, making sure that you have your personnel in the right spot to react to that, all that happening at once, it's really fast. And bigs, It's where Marc Gasol's kind of mentored Deontay Davis. A lot of that has just been learning to be more verbal. Deontay's body language sucks, as we all know. Just not great out there. But I think you're starting to see some improvement on that. Wasn't great Friday, but as a starter on Saturday, he did seem to take more of a mantle of that. That was my tweet, because I saw more communication. I saw more talking from him in that game than I think I've seen probably ever. He really was talking to his teammates. He was getting them in positions. He was orchestrating, saying, go get this guy, go get that. That's stuff you have to do as the big. You have to be the guy that explains and shouts what's going to happen. Where do you have to play, guys? You know, how are you going to handle that pick and roll? You know, those things all happen very quickly, and you have to be able to identify that stuff and react to it. He's starting to do that. To me, that would be the biggest improvement imaginable for Deontay Davis, to make him more integrated into that aspect of the play. Because physically, you know he's talented. He certainly can block shots. He can defend reasonably well. He's developed that little pick-and-pop jump shot, which is nice to see. He can finish lobs, no problem. He can dive to the basket. That's certainly something his length should allow him to do. You know, the framework is there for a nice rim-running, defensive-oriented big, but he's got to get the defensive-oriented part. It's not just about your guy, and it's not just about blocking shots. It's about setting the defense up. It's about getting everyone else in the right position to do the right thing, and especially with a bunch of young guys out there, that's hard. And it's a lot of responsibility, and you're going to get it wrong a lot of the time. But to see that stuff start to emerge with him, to see him, you know, just to take baby steps, that's encouraging. So I would tell you to watch, keep an eye on Deontay Davis tonight, to the extent that he plays. Watch what he does. Watch how he communicates. He's got to improve on that, but I think that's an area where he can. And if he gets that right and gets just a little more energy out there when he's playing, he's got a lot to like about his game still. I've been sort of hot and cold on Deontay. There are times I really like what he does, and the times it's just like, ugh. Yeah, I wish he had a little more. It's just his demeanor. I mean, that's just who he is. But I wish there was a little more energy out there on the court. I wish the body language was better. But maybe it will be. Maybe this will help to improve that. I did see some encouraging things this weekend from him. Ivan Rabb, another guy that there's a lot to like about his game. He has a nose for the ball. Rebounding, he certainly is a better rebounder than his size would dictate. He's got a nice touch. You've already seen that. You know, he really offensively has got a good flair with a number of different moves and way you can shoot it. He can finish at the basket really well. He's one of the more encouraging offensive players I've seen. It's just defensively, there's a lot to work on. He's physically not capable of handling himself defensively right now, and he's all over the place. Watch for him on the defensive side of the ball, because offensively, you're going to like what you see with him. And then Jarrell Martin is playing for his career. He's trying to find some role that he can play. And right now he just has not settled on that. He was not good on Saturday in a bigger role, playing sort of a 3-ish, 4-ish kind of thing. That's not him. That's not a great role for him, and he didn't play it especially well. He's gonna have to be a stretchy 4 type guy. And you know, whether he can do that on a full-time basis, at a high enough level to get a gig in the NBA, I think remains to be seen. But that's what you have to watch for, you know, with Jarrell. I wonder how, you know, Marc Gasol will handle this. You know, he's not a guy that likes to do any of this stuff, to miss the game. He doesn't like to miss any game, period. He doesn't like to come out of games early. As you guys know, I see tweets every game when when the Grizzlies are blowing somebody out or being blown out. Why is Marc still in the game? Why is Marc still in the game? I mean, a lot of it is Marc. He throws a fit. He does not like being taken out. He doesn't, you know, that's part of the chemistry stuff that is more apparent, you know, in person or when you watch or when you follow the team. He likes to play. The guy likes to play, and it's hard to get him not to. I think this time you get a little pass. It was bad enough for them to go down to Miami and he and Chandler Parsons getting stuck in an elevator with Nick Van Exel in the Four Seasons in Miami at 3:30 in the morning, and Chandler Parsons documenting everything as he always does on Instagram. Why wouldn't you? I mean, why wouldn't you document everything that happens in your life? But that was bad enough. Then sitting and being forced to watch all this action, being forced to not take part in, I'm sure it was a pretty miserable trip to Miami for Mark. He's not going to like it if this continues to happen. I think you can get away with it in spurts, but if you try to make a thing of it, he will have some things to say. I can assure you, he will not take it lying down. He's not a guy that wants to, in his words, cheat the game. He feels like that's something that's not in his best interest personally to do. So you got to walk that fine line. It's difficult. You know how the tank race is historic. I mean, this thing is, it's absolutely historic. I'm not sure that Mark playing would have made a difference in the Miami game. It obviously didn't make a difference in the Cleveland game. I don't think it's going to make much of a difference tonight against Boston. So you have to walk that line. But I would say, you know, it could very, very, very much make a difference on Wednesday night in, you know, Tankpalooza 2K18. You know, the Grizzlies have lost 9 straight. The Suns have lost 9 straight. Both teams, in all likelihood, will lose tonight. Grizzlies against the Celtics, the Suns against the Pelicans, which would mean that they would come into this game with dueling 10-game losing streaks. And I have not had the wherewithal to look up when the last time that happened was in the league and for the Grizzlies, but I cannot imagine. It is very often that you see two teams with double-digit losing streaks going at it, one of them, of course, having to go. If you're going to out-tank the Suns, you're going to have to get real serious about it. Sitting Marc Gasol for that game would definitely send the message that you are dead serious about tanking. Sitting Marc for the Miami game, yeah, you're going to lose that game. Sitting Marc for the game against the Celtics, yeah, you're going to lose that game. Sitting Marc for the Suns game? Ah, now you're getting somewhere. Let's see how serious they are about all of this. The teams at the bottom portion of the league, the bottom 9 teams have now lost a combined 45 games in a row. 45 games in a row. Basically a third of the league is tanking. And we're not even in March. That's why I began the podcast by saying the reality of this has really hit me in the face. It's like, whew. I mean, you know, you knew you had to have it. You knew it was going to have to happen. But to actually watch it unfold, whew, it's rough. But we're going to do it together, okay? We're going to do it together, you and me. And I want your help because we're going to do some mailbags. We're going to get to interactive stuff. We're going to start talking draft as early as we conceivably can. So we may start looking at the NCAA tournament. We may start, you know, looking at some of the stuff that's going on there and start to get some feel for that. Those draft pods are coming. Much more detail once the draft starts to be much more of a reality when you see, you know, not even going to wait for the lottery, but once you kind of see where things are going to kind of shake out, we'll get a better feel for how that's going to go. But those there will be plenty of those, so don't sweat any of that. Please get in touch with me. Love to hear from you. I am PEdmiston@gmail.com. If you want to shoot me an email, that'd be great. PEdmiston@gmail.com. You can hit me up on Twitter as well. I am @PeterEdmiston. @PeterEdmiston on Twitter. Either way, just a great great outlet. So please feel free to do that. And again, we'll chat a lot more about this tomorrow and over the next coming weeks, because we got to get this thing together. You and me. It's the diehards now. It's the diehards now. This is where you separate the real fans from the glory fans. Are there glory fans? Are there glory Grizzly fans? Probably. This is where you separate the real ones, though. If you get in on this, you're watching these games and you're digging into them, then you're a real fan, and I salute you. Thank you for listening. We'll talk again tomorrow. Have a good one here on Locked On Grizzlies.